If you have your Bibles tonight, 1 Kings chapter 18. Going to get a chance to look at just really a great passage of Scripture. We can learn all kinds of lessons from this, but I really want you to see three things about Elijah tonight. I want you to see there's another gentleman in the storyline named Obadiah. We'll get a chance to find out about him. But I want you to know Elijah was a mighty man of God. Now understand this. Everybody in this room can be mighty men of God too, or mighty women of God. Everybody out there in your home, you can be mighty before the Lord too. It's not because you are born mighty. It's because you've grown into mighty. And how does that happen? Well, number one, you'll notice in the outline, Elijah was a dedicated servant. Now, Ahab hated Elijah. And that's because Elijah was the one that prayed and stopped the rain. So Ahab hated him. And he had been trying to find him all over Israel. He had looked everywhere for 3.5 years and couldn't catch him. And so you'll notice Ahab hated Elijah, and God told Elijah to show himself to Ahab before it started raining. And he obeyed. So Elijah was an obedient servant. He was a servant that was dedicated to the Lord and said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. Now, he knew if he presented him to Ahab, presented himself to Elijah, that Elijah would try to kill him. I mean, that Ahab would try to kill Elijah. He knew that Ahab was furious with Elijah. And he would either try to kill him or put him in prison and say, you better pray and start the rain, because he knew Elijah could do it. So notice, if you would, in verse 1 of 18 of 1 Kings. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. So God spoke to Elijah, and God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through circumstances. He speaks to us in our heart. You'll notice, if you would, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab. Now, that's a scary thing. If you know you've got an enemy and he's trying to kill you or trying to hunt you down, for the Lord to say, go show yourself to your enemy. Well, it takes an obedient servant to do that. It takes someone that's dedicated to do something that's hard. But that's one of the steps to this mightiness before God, is that you and I learn to obey. We're so dedicated, we'll do anything the Lord wants us to do. If you remember the story of in the book of Acts, where the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling back from Jerusalem and trying to find how to get saved. And so Philip was chosen by God in the midst of a great revival. He says, I want you to go into the desert. And the Bible doesn't say that Philip argued with God. He immediately, the Bible says, and he rose and went in the book of Acts. So he was a dedicated servant. He was an obedient servant. And so all of us in this room have to understand that obedience is one of the requirements, one of the very first requirements. Dedication and obedience is one of the very first requirements for being mighty with the Lord, for getting the ear of God. Elijah, we can look at and say, well, he was great because he was Elijah. Well, he wasn't always Elijah. He grew into being Elijah. And you may not always be a great Christian, but you can grow into being a great Christian. And that's really what I want you to see the story is tonight. I want you to see that Elijah has grown into being a great Christian. You'll notice, if you would, a great prophet. And notice, if you would, he was asked to do some difficult things. And notice in verse number 2, and Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. So he immediately obeyed, just like Philip did in the New Testament. And just like many times that a servant of the Lord obeys immediately. Now, can anybody think of a servant of God that wasn't considered great because he didn't obey the first time? How about Jonah? In Jonah chapter 1, the Lord came to Jonah and said, I want you to go preach to Nineveh. That was a hard thing. That was his enemy. And Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. So Jonah says, no, I'm not going to do it. And God had to send a mighty whale to swallow him before he could finally change his mind. And that took 3 days. So you understand that there's a reason why Elijah is mighty and Jonah was not. Now, God still used Jonah when he went, but he was not considered a mighty man of God. God just used him because he didn't have anybody else. Obviously, Jonah was not the great Christian he ought to have been. And he left this life, as far as we know, with a bitter spirit. So notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2. He was not only a dedicated servant, he was a dynamic spiritual leader. He was a dynamic servant. And what does that mean? dynamic is a force, literally the definition is a force that stimulates change in others. Now, everybody here, I want you to be a force that stimulates change in others. Every father in this room can be that way. A force that stimulates change in your family. Every mom, every wife can be a force that stimulates change in your family. Everybody that has a job, you can be a force that stimulates change in your family. And so I want you to see Elijah, part of becoming a great Christian is when you let God use you as a force to stimulate change, to create a difference in the lives of people, to cause them to want to do things that they ought to do. Teenagers, they have to, somebody's got to stand up in a youth group and say, I want to do what's right. And it stimulates change in the lives of others. A pastor is supposed to do that. He's supposed to say, I've made up my mind to do what's right. Who will go with me? And so that's part of the issue of being a dynamic leader for the Lord, is that we all have to say, Lord, here am I, use me. We'll do what you want me to do. Now, I want you to notice in the outline, A, he had faith that it was going to rain. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 2, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Now, he went to show himself because he knew it was about ready to rain. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 3. Now, we're going to take a little shift in the story. Notice B in the outline. He was confident in telling Obadiah that he would meet the king that day. He knew God would protect him from Ahab. Now, what you notice in verse 8. Look with me, if you would. And he answered and said, I am. Now, watch. This is what happens in verse 3. Now, I want to just put a little parenthesis here and say something about Obadiah. Obadiah is a quiet, faithful servant of God. He's not the dynamic, boisterous, faith-filled leader that Elijah is. But he is the behind-the-scenes, steady, loves the Lord. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 12. Look at what he says. Notice, but I, thy servant, last part of the verse, fear the Lord from my youth. He's a young man like Daniel, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I want to do what's right, and I've wanted to do what's right for my youth, but nobody really knows it. He's had to be very careful what he says because he didn't want to get killed in his country when everybody's worshiping Baal. And notice his job. Look what it was. Look in verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. So he's the guy that's like Joseph was Potiphar's house. He's the governor over Ahab's house. How would you like that job? I mean, you gotta follow the directions of Ahab and Jezebel. How would you like that job? And yet you're a Christian and you love the Lord. Well, that's why Joseph said, look, I can do anything you want me to do, but I'm not going to commit immorality with you, with Potiphar's wife. And so he ran and it cost him. Well, here you got a man right here that his boss is trying to kill all the preachers that love the Lord. Well, notice what he does in verse 4. Verse 3, the last phrase. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. In other words, he respected the Lord greatly and he wanted to do what was right in his sight. So Obadiah did not kill the preachers of God. Notice what he does. For it was so, verse 4, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. So Jezebel stopped feeding the prophets and wanting them all to die that were the preachers of the gospel of truth. So Jezebel said, I'm just going to kill them all because I'm going to starve them to death. Well, Obadiah said, oh, Lord, I can't let that happen. I know these are your servants. So he goes and takes some 50 in a group and hides them in two caves and goes and takes bread and water. Can you imagine how much bread and water it would take to feed 50 men every day and not be noticed? This man took a great risk. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into land and into all fountains of water. Any place you can find water. And into all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the mules and horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. Now watch this. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. So how much trust do you think Ahab has in Obadiah? He says, you take half the land and look, and I'll take half the land and look. He trusted him explicitly. So Obadiah was a faithful governor to a wicked man. So maybe your boss at work is a wicked man, but you can be faithful to do the right thing and represent the Lord. He trusted him. Now you'll notice, if you would, he wasn't dishonest. He didn't allow the servants of God to die. So he went outside what his boss wanted because it was the right thing to do. It took great courage to be Obadiah, but it was quiet courage. There is many a Christian working at the CIA or the FBI or NASA or someplace, or even in a job in the public sector, where doing what's right, you just have to be careful. But your holiness, your integrity, your truthfulness makes a difference, and people can see it. Oh yes, you're not Elijah. You're not that dynamic spiritual leader that's going to change the world, but you can change people at your work. You can affect them because you're truthful, you're honest, you're pleasant, your excellent spirit, like Daniel's, affected a nation. It starts with you affecting the people you work with your home. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 7, and as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, Obadiah did, and fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord Elijah? And he said, I am. Verse 8, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Now, Obadiah, keep in mind, is looking for water, and he finds Elijah. Now, he's terrified. He has great respect for Elijah because he's a man of God. He's quiet, but he is a man of God. So notice, if you would, in verse number 9, and he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? If I go back and tell Ahab without taking you with me that I've seen Elijah, and I bring him back to meet you, and you're not there, the Spirit of God has moved you someplace, he's going to kill me. And notice what Elijah says. Verse 10. This is Obadiah says, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. He said, do you swear on your mama's grave? Do you swear on your nation's? He made them put their life on the line. And he said, otherwise, you're going to die for it. And they said, hey, I promise you, I have not found Elijah. He said, and you want me to go tell him I saw Elijah and didn't bring Elijah with me? He said, that's a death sentence. Well, notice in verse number 11. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Do you understand what you're doing? You're killing me. And notice, if you would, verse 12. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I fear, I thy servant, fear the Lord for my youth. I am not like Ahab and his servants. I fear the Lord. I'm a Christian. I want to do what's right. And notice, if you would, verse 13. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? Have I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? Didn't you hear that I tried to save the prophets of God, and now you want me to go back and commit suicide? Verse 14. And now thou sayest, go tell my Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And notice verse 15. Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. Now, notice a common thing of servants of the Lord. Obadiah is terrified to go to his Ahab without Elijah. But Elijah said, I promise you, today I'll show myself. And what does he do? Verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. So he immediately obeyed. Elijah immediately obeyed. Philip immediately obeyed. God is looking for dedicated, obedient servants that just follow his direction. And tonight, everybody in this room can do that. It's step one to being a mighty man of God. Now, step two, this dynamic leader, I consider Obadiah a dynamic leader. He affected change in the lives of 100 prophets. It's just not the same as it was for Elijah. But he was used of God. How many of us would like to be used of God to spare 100 preachers of God? Well, all of us would like that. And that's why he said, that's why the scriptures put Obadiah in there. It's not just about the great prophets. It's about the quiet servants. Obedience is acquired by both. And notice, if you would, and then verse number 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? You're the guy that's caused all the problem, and there's no rain, and everything's drying up, and everybody's starving to death. Notice, if you would, see in the outline, he told the most powerful man in Israel, King Ahab, that he was causing the problem in Israel. So what does Elijah do? Look at verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, notice, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. He said, look, you're the problem. You're the one. So he tells the guy, the one guy in Israel that could kill him, he said, you're the one that's the problem because you've forsaken the Lord. Now, what a tremendous lesson for all of us to learn is that we can stand up for what's right with confidence. We have to do it the right way, but he doesn't. He said, no, oh Ahab, I'm not the problem. I'm not the one that's caused the trouble. But when you led the children of Israel to forsake the Lord, that was the problem. And I want to show you the answer. And notice, if you would, verse 19. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Now, notice, if you would, the outline. D. He, Elijah, called a meeting of the religious leaders to prove which God was real. And that took boldness. A part of a dynamic leader is that we have the courage to do things other people don't. That's a dynamic leader. Now, would you consider Obadiah a dynamic servant of the Lord? Sure, he did something that was bold. He put his life on the line and took 100 preachers and stored them up in a cave and fed them for we don't know how long. Did that take courage? It sure did. But now Elijah, he took courage to a different level. He puts his neck on the line. He says, look, you go call all the prophets of Baal. Notice in verse 19, unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Jezebel fed all 850 of the preachers of Baal. He said, you go get all of them and bring them to Mount Carmel. We're going to have a test to see which God is real. Now, how much courage does that take? And this wasn't just a little test. This was who can bring fire down from heaven. Oh, wow. I wouldn't do that. This takes a dynamic man of God. I'm not saying God would even do that today. But what I'm trying to say is God does do things in a mighty way even today when we exercise faith. I consider that our church has exercised faith in buying land in Ashburn and what God has done with it. That took a lot of faith to buy that land. That was in the middle of the crisis in 08 and 07, 08, when everything was collapsing. Our church bought the land. That took a lot of courage for our church people. And so what I'm trying to say is that it takes courage for all of us to do what's right. Well, you'll notice, if you would, in the outline, D1, he wanted the people to see God's power. Notice, number two, he wanted the people to select Jehovah as their God. Now look at verse 20 and 21. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They were afraid to answer because they knew Jezebel loved Baal, and so they just kept their mouths shut. But that tells you something. Israel was on the fence. You and I can't sit on the fence. We have to get off the fence and say, that's what Elijah said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Well, I think Baal is God. Well, I think Jehovah is God. And that was the debate, the two different opinions. Now, look, when you begin to pray, you change it. It's no longer an opinion. You put your faith and trust in the God of heaven. So he said, look, how long are you going to halt here without choosing the God of heaven? And so he decided to put on a test. And now God in the Old Testament loved tests. He loved to show himself mighty. And do you know what? The Lord loves to show himself mighty now. He just did a different way. He doesn't bring fire down from heaven. I'll give you one example. He shows himself mighty. Robin Manchesky's had cancer for almost 10 years, three different kinds. She's not supposed to be alive, but God showed himself mighty. And he's answered our prayers. And so there are a lot of instances like that where God just reached down and the doctors go, I don't understand that. I can't explain it. And we can say, we can explain it because we know there's a God in heaven. So don't halt between two opinions. Just choose the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Well, Elijah is trying to get the children of Israel to choose. Now watch what he does in verse 25. Verse number 23. And let them therefore give us two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood. And put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. So we're going to have an altar here, and you take your bullock first, and you offer the bullock on the altar, and you don't put any fire on it, and we'll see which God comes down from heaven and consumes the altar and accepts the fire. Accepts with the fire the offering. So notice what happens in verse 24. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. So in other words, you call your gods, plural, Baal, Asherah, whoever you want to call your gods are, and I'll just call on the Lord of heaven. And notice, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Did that take courage? Publicly to say, hey, let's see if God, which God answers from heaven. Now notice if you would, number three, after in the section D. He even made it harder for God to consume the wood by soaking it. So the morning comes, the Baal prophets get all the animal cut up, put it on the altar, and all day long, I mean, they do everything. They pray to God. They jump up on the altar. The Bible says they even take and cut themselves to try to get God's attention. I've seen pictures. I've even watched people crawl on their knees to try to get God's attention, blood on the pavement in Mexico and different places. I've seen them try to get God's attention by hurting themselves. God doesn't want us to do that. He's already taken the blood of his son to pave the way for us. He just wants us to exercise faith in him and he will answer. The debt's been paid. You just have to sincerely from your heart pray to God and he will hear. You do not have to harm yourself. Stab yourself, bleed yourself to get the attention of God. God says you get on your knees and pray to your Father in secret. He'll answer publicly. So understand, our God is different. He just wants our undivided attention. And yet we don't give it to him. Elijah is a perfect example of a dynamic leader that trusts God to answer his prayers. So at the end of the day, I mean, Elijah makes fun of him. He said, maybe your God's asleep. Cry a little louder. Maybe he's on vacation. Cry a little louder. And then after a while, it gets later toward evening. It's okay, you've had enough chance. Notice what happens. In verse number 30, Elijah said unto them, come near unto me and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. They had jumped on the altar, knocked the rocks all over the place. He repaired the altar, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the tribe of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And notice, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. So he repairs the altar and builds a bigger altar. And you'll notice he made a trench about the altar as great as would take 2 measures of seed. Now watch what he does. And he put the wood in the order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Now that was, number one, a very expensive idea because water was precious. And pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. You know what he was doing? He was trying to make it hard for God to consume the sacrifice and start the wood on fire. He was trying to make it harder for God so the people can see that wood will never start burning. It will never start. You know, wet wood does not start easily. So he's trying to show how mighty God is. Well, then you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 4, and he said, do it the second time. Pour that water on it again. And then do it the third time. And he did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench all the way around. I mean, it is just soaked. And then it came to the time of the evening sacrifice. Elijah the prophet came near and said, he comes to this altar, and this is what he does. He says, watch in verse 36. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Lord, let them know I'm not up here trying to make a big name for myself. I'm up here doing exactly what you told me to do. Lord, you told me to stop the rain. You told me to pray and stop the rain, and I did. Lord, I didn't stop the rain. You said it. I just followed your direction. And Lord, now I'm asking you to show that you're the great God of heaven. Would you bring the fire down from heaven and consume this altar and show everybody here that you're the God of heaven? Notice it, what happened. Verse 38. Verse 37. I don't want to miss this verse. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Lord, would you show them that you're God and that they need to turn back to you? Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. You know what God did? God said, I can put fire and start fire anywhere. He started fire, not only consumed the altar, the sacrifice, but he consumed the wet wood. He even consumed the rocks. Rocks don't burn. But God says, I'm going to show you that I'm the great God of heaven and nothing's too hard for me. So when they blinked their eyes and looked, everything was gone. The trench was dry as a powder house. They looked at it and said, oh my goodness, the Lord, he is God. And notice what happened. Revival breaks out. Verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And you'll notice, if you would, Elijah said to them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. So Elijah destroys the prophets of Baal because he's trying to keep the children of Israel straight and trust the Lord. Now notice, if you would, number 4 in the outline, D4. He had a great trust in God's willingness to hear and answer his prayers. So he gets up at this altar publicly and holds his hand up and says, now, Lord, could I talk to you? Now, I want you to watch something. This is a different kind of prayer than the Pharisees prayed in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The Pharisees get up to pray and say, oh, Lord God. And then look around and see if everybody's watching. Oh, mighty Jehovah. Look around and see if everybody's watching. They're praying publicly to get attention. It's certainly all right to pray publicly, but not to get attention. It's to pray publicly to get God's attention. It's just as though you were the only two on earth. Lord, would you answer my prayer so that people know that you're God? Lord, would you give me a job so that I could take care of my family and I could show my family that you're God? And that you're capable. Lord, would you? And we fill in the blank for our prayers. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get close enough to Him that we can become a dynamic leader to our family. We exercise our faith so God can say, wow, I want to be like Dad. I want to be like Mom. Wow, I want to be like that guy at work. We've had people call us up and say, would you pray for my so-and-so? I've heard that God answers the prayers of your people at Temple. That's a great testimony. Well, I want you to understand, you'll notice if you would, Roman numeral 3. Now, I want you to get this one. Elijah was a daring spiritual example because he tried things for God that seemed impossible. And tonight, I want you to learn one of the lessons of Elijah. Now, I want you to see this, that here's a man of God that's willing to try anything for God. Tonight, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to do things that seem to, we're willing to pray about things that are impossible in man's eyes? Folks, I've been praying that the Lord would grant us to be able to build out in Ashburn, and we all have. And the Lord gave us a piece of land many years ago, and He has taken His time, but it looks like God is going to allow us to build and not have any debt at all. Who could have thought of that? Only the great God of heaven. His plan is perfect. We just pray and say, Lord, give us a new home where we can reach more people, where we can make a greater difference with the people that we have. And God says, okay, I've got a plan to do that, if you'll trust me. Not very many churches get a whole new complex, a whole new campus. That's kind of rare. And yet, I think if we exercise some faith, God says, I can do that. And I don't know of any of them that do it with all cash. Wouldn't it be wonderful to show that our God is able if He could do that? That's what we want to pray. Isn't it wonderful when we pray a miraculous prayer and God does it and we don't take the credit? We can say, look what God did. And that's what a daring spiritual leader does. And maybe in your home, let's pray that God gives us a job soon. Let's put the Lord to the test. Let's pour our hearts out to Him. Let's pray that the Lord heals this or heals that. You see, folks, tonight, a daring leader sometimes, under the inspiration of God, under the leadership of God, asks for the impossible or does things that are impossible. I mean, faith promise. Lord, my faith promise is X, and Lord, I'm going to try to give $20 more a week. I don't have any idea where that's coming from, Lord, but could you do that for me, through me? I just feel like that's what you want me to do. I mean, I've had people that have increased their faith promise $5 a week, and that was great. That was impossible for them because they didn't get a raise, and they were struggling, but they trusted God for the impossible. And it was $5 a week, and God provided. So that's the area where you and I learn to do daring things for the Lord. Learn to do daring things for the Lord. Put your children up. So, Lord, would you use my children? Lord, I give them to you. Dare to give your children to the Lord. Dare to give your heart to the Lord. Lord, I'm all in. I'm all yours. Do things that the world looks and says, that's impossible. That's what a daring leader does. I want you to notice A in the outline of Roman numeral 3. He won a great victory and turned Israel to God by his example of faith. Now you'll notice there's two great impossible things he does here. There's two things that are impossible. He does. Notice if you would, verse 1, the first thing that's impossible is that he prays and stops the rain for 3.5 years. The second thing is that he prays again, the rain comes back. That's the third thing he does. The second thing he does, he calls down fire from heaven. So he prayed for the impossible, and God answered. What things can you and I pray for? Maybe a relative that's unsaved, that's not listening to the gospel. Challenge the Lord. God wants to be challenged. He wants to show himself mighty. Now notice, if you would, B in the outline. He showed us all that even we can have power with God through prayer. And I want you to turn to James chapter 5, if you would, very quickly. James chapter 5, we'll close. Notice, if we would, James chapter 5. I want you to see this. I want you to catch this one word. Notice what he says. Verse number 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not. You know what it is? I want you to listen. I want you to understand this. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what God's trying to tell us? Elijah is just like you and I. He has the same weaknesses you and I do. It's up to us to exercise our faith. Tonight, will you trust God, exercise your faith? Will you be a dedicated leader, one that's obedient? Would you do anything God wants you to do, no matter the risk? Number two, would you be a dynamic leader? Would you be one that affects change in the lives of others? It instigates change in the lives of others. And number three, would you be a daring spiritual leader? Would you be one that tries things that are impossible? Tonight, I want to encourage you to exercise your faith, because you don't have to be a mighty man of God to pray mighty prayers. Obadiah was a quiet man of God, and God used him mightily. God can use you no matter who you are, if you'll be obedient, if you'll trust him and say, Lord, I want to do some great things for you. God will use you. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe tonight the Lord's burdened your heart about someone that's lost that you need to pour your heart out and pray for. Maybe God needs to burden your heart, that God's burdened your heart about something tonight. Could I encourage you to be a daring leader? Could I encourage you to be a dynamic example to your family, people around you? Could I encourage you to be a dedicated one? Someone that just obeys the Lord simply. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I plead with you to make of the people of Temple Baptist Church, young people, adults alike, dedicated servants of God. Dynamic servants of God. People that affect change around them. And daring servants of God. People that do things that just seem impossible. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist plays. Maybe you're sitting in your home and God's touched your heart. Could I challenge you as a young person, as a mom or a dad, to become a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God. Mighty in God's eyes, not ours. That's what God's looking for. I consider Obadiah a mighty man of God. He was just quiet. He took a life-changing risk. Tonight, could I encourage you to take some risks for the Lord? Put him first. Go out on a limb on your prayers. Let's lift him up tonight. Let's begin to live holy so people can see it. We're going to have a word of prayer and be dismissed tonight. I thank you for your attention. And I pray that you'll take a little bit of time, wherever you are, and begin to pray. And lift these people up we've been asking you for. Robert Murphy's wife and her heart issues. Would you pray for her? Would you pray for Brother Bruce McGray tonight? Would you pray for Brian Airwood's mom? Let's pray tonight for those three requests and many more. If you've downloaded the prayer sheet, you pray about that sheet. Anybody at work, whoever the Lord's burdened your heart about. And folks, let's pray for America. Let's pray for people that have got COVID-19. Let's pray for people who have lost their jobs. Let's forget ourselves and plead with the God of heaven to do some mighty things tonight. Lord Jesus, would you hear us tonight? We have no one else that can bring fire down from heaven, that can give us the answer, the antidote for COVID-19. Lord, would you grant that to someone to spare lives? But Lord, would you cause us to learn the lesson you have for us through this pandemic? I pray that you'd spare lives, dear Lord. Give people a second chance to trust you as Savior. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be better witnesses to win people to you, both at work and around, when the opportunity comes. Lord, with this pandemic, it's sort of taken away a lot of our opportunities. But we can give our testimony. We can do things to reach people. Help us to take advantage of it. Lord, help us to live right, like Obadiah did. Father, would you answer and take care of Brian Earwood's mom, Brother Bruce McRae? Lord, would you bless Joan McRae's knee? Would you heal it up? Dear Lord, would you bless each one of these requests? Lord, I pray that you bless Robert Murphy's wife. Father, would you bless our church, our people? Help us to live for you. Make us the examples, the leaders, the servants you want us to be. In your precious name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you for the rest of the week. See you Sunday morning, 9 o'clock for Sunday school. May the Lord bless you.